Welcome to the And the Net Appeared podcast. I'm your host, Chelsea Benzel, intuitive mentor for thought leaders, coaches, and content creators. In this podcast, you'll hear from badass humans who have taken big leaps of faith and the net appeared. Enjoy. Catherine Hale, welcome to the podcast. I'm so happy to have you here.
Thank you so much. You've made me really welcome so far, and I'm really looking forward to having this conversation with you.
Me too. I'm looking forward to seeing where it unfolds and where this conversation goes. So just to give a bit of an intro to our listeners. So you, Catherine, you're a trauma resolution educator, coach, and a guide in sex, love, and relationships. I love how well-rounded that is, and that it touches on some really important pieces of our human experience. Can you tell us a bit about what that work looks like for you and what you do in your work in the world?
I'll give you the kind of condensed version of what I do. Essentially, you know, what I see in the world is that there's like a personal and a collective trauma spell that we're living under. Collectively, it's like white supremacy, capitalism, patriarchy. And personally, we all have our own kind of trauma pieces that we need to work through, like whether we've experienced developmental trauma, shock trauma. There's something that's kind of in our nervous system, which is often kind of out of balance, needs addressing, needs to come back to a place of regulation. But when we're living in that trauma spell, we're not living to our fullest. So we could say that we're not living our kind of inherent blueprint for life. We're in fact stuck in an imprint. And therefore we face all these like difficulties and challenges, particularly in those places where we share power. So sex, love, relationships. I also support people around money and business. So those places where historically we might tend to give our power away, or we go into kind of like power over situations with others, where we might kind of be in an extractive relationship with ourselves or with others, and beginning to like dismantle those internal systems that we've got to set up that have been born from these trauma imprints. And so the work basically creates human beings who are actually able to do the work that they're meant to be doing, right? And we need people at this time who are like in their hearts, in their power, who are here on a mission, right, to make this world a better place.
Yeah. What I hear from that is like helping people do the work. We hear that term a lot, like do the work in terms of the inner work, but do that work so that you can do the work of sharing your gifts and doing what you came here to do and having the impact that only you can have in the world.
Yeah. Bring ourselves up to live our soul's work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because often when we have those fears, when we have that trauma, where we have the repressed shit that we don't look at and we're afraid to even acknowledge, it can get in the way of showing up in the world in the way that we know on a deep level we really want to. But then there's all the stories and there's all the uncertainties and the feeling of not feeling safe in the world enough to do that and follow through on that.
Yeah. And so we're not able to take those risks. We're not able to put ourselves out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because the feeling of lack of safety is dominant.
Yeah. Yeah.
So stay small, and then no one else gets to benefit from our magic.
Yeah. I'm all about that. Obviously, the whole premise of this podcast is about taking leaps and going for those things that are in our soul that we know we want to live out. And I think this is an important conversation around that in terms of looking at what causes us to not feel safe to go after the big things or the things that feel really big and feel scary. And yeah, I would love to hear your perspective on how you see trauma work connecting with leaping and the net appearing.
Yeah. So, like, from my perspective, the net is there all the time, right? But we don't see it, we don't sense it, and we don't feel it as being there because we're in a trauma imprint. So let's choose an example. Let's say we've experienced the conditioning of control in some way. So we've grown up in a society where our government is very controlling. Or maybe we're living in a culture where there's been like a religion that's been very dominant and controlling. You know, I think about people that I know, like where the Catholic Church is kind of like really dominated. And, you know, it's like the fear of God is put into you, right? Or the fear of like the oppressor, if we're looking at kind of certain regimes, political regimes. And so it's kind of like, oh, it's not safe to kind of like be myself. It's certainly not safe to kind of think for myself. So I'm just going to kind of go along and like follow the status quo, because if I don't, then it's going to be really, really risky. So I'm just going to kind of stay small. And from that place, it's like the nervous system's in the state of freeze. So it's like a deadening, a disconnect. It's a place where we kind of can go in its most extreme states into like collapse, depression, disconnection. And from that place, it's like we're not out there sensing and feeling like, oh, look at these opportunities. And maybe if I took that step, it might lead to that. It's like, that's just not a possibility, because we're so in this like inward, stuck, immobilized place.
Yeah.
To even like lift our heads up, it's like, that's just too much, right? So this idea that there can be something out there that can be supporting everything, supporting our actions to move forwards, just doesn't match our reality.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can have this kind of like other extreme in the nervous system, which is where at one end we might be in a state of immobilization and collapse. At the other end of the spectrum, we'll have more kind of fight flight tendencies, right? So we might be like fighting against systems. Inherent within that is a dysregulation again. And so we can't kind of find the trust of life, because we're fighting against our perception of life, our experience of life, which is one of like, it's dangerous and it's not safe. Someone's trying to control me and I've got to push back.
Yeah.
I'm going to take this on a slightly sideways note here, if I could. I was having a conversation with a client yesterday about creativity. For me, creativity and the net, you know, appearing and the magic all kind of live in one place, right? And she was sharing how, when she feels good, when she's not in a triggered state, the creativity is there. And then there's this desire to kind of like, oh, it's here, I've got to like capitalize on it. And then it's like, oh no, I pushed myself too hard, and then collapsing again, right? And what I was speaking into is like, when there's nervous system regulation on a daily basis, we can be in this really like rested place within ourselves. But it's that place where ideas arise, right? It's that place where joy arises. It's that place where compassion, safe connection, community, relationship arises. And I was sharing this with her. And I said, you know, so there will be a point in the future when your nervous system is regulated enough where that creativity won't just be this burst of creativity, but it will actually be this kind of flow of creativity that doesn't end. It might ebb and flow, right? But it's always available. The magic and the degree of connection and creativity and kind of trust and faith is kind of dependent upon being able to access this place in our nervous system, right?
Yeah. Because if we're operating from that place of not feeling safe, I love the example that you gave of like, it's not even safe to lift your head up and think of anything outside of you because everything is going towards your survival, basically. And when we're so consumed in that state, we can't see the magic, because we can't get to that place of just relaxed, calm, stable, and grounded. Mm-hmm. I can relate to that too. I think what comes to mind when you just gave that example is like writer's block, or anytime that we really push and force. And I know that feeling of like, oh, the creativity's here, it's flowing. And it's almost like the more that I am aware that this is a short-lived experience, you need to capitalize on it, you need to grasp at this. And the more you grasp, the more it confirms this belief that this is short-lived. And, you know, that in itself almost triggers that stress response again and just repeats the cycle.
Yeah. Exactly. I remember, like, you know, there'd be times when I'd be sitting there looking at a blank page on the computer screen, you know, just like, wow, like, I don't know what to say. And just being in this, like, either a freeze response or like feeling panicky and agitated. And now it's like, oh, wow, like, what wants to come? Okay, like, I need to pause on this. Because there's the flow, but I can trust that it's going to come back. So then it's like, oh, another post that wants to be written, another article that wants to be written here. And it's such a kind of stark difference to how it was before, when I was living like in complex PTSD symptoms on a daily basis. And when people would say to me, like, you know, oh, trust the universe, or, you know, the net is there. And it's just like, I couldn't believe in it, right?
Yeah.
I couldn't believe in it because it wasn't my daily reality.
Yeah.
My daily reality was like struggle, survival, conflict, you know, discomfort, dysregulation. No, and so I see that in the journey of my clients, you know, they arrive in that place. And it's like we work together to actually create this place of, you know, like resiliency in the nervous system. We create this place of like trust and deep knowing that this is like home. This is a foundation that can be returned to again and again. And it's like, it's almost like, you know, the story Hansel and Gretel, you know, like the breadcrumbs which we place. It's like we can put the breadcrumbs down to find our way back here. Mm-hmm. I mean, neuroscience would say that we're laying down new neural pathways, right? But I like the imagery of the breadcrumbs like being laid down. We can kind of like find our way back to this place of safety, this place of home inside of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
To me, like, that's the sense of this net. It's like there's an inner net, right?
Yeah.
I can engage with like this outer, yeah, it's like, where does the inner net kind of interface with the outer net?
Yeah.
That yeah. deep connection between everything in life. And if our net is like offline and isn't working properly, then there's nowhere to kind of like hook in, right?
Yeah.
To that place.
Yeah. And I do believe it has to come from within first. We have to cultivate that sense of trust in ourselves before we can trust in the universe and trust that if you leap, the net will appear, and that what you need is right around the corner and that miracles do happen. It's like often that's too big of a leap. Like you mentioned, like people say, trust in the universe, or, you know, whatever cliche thing, even leap in the net will appear is super cliche. But when we hear that and we're in a space of zero trust in ourselves or the universe, it's like, no. And we almost want to prove that story to ourselves. Like, no, that's not true. That can't be true. See, look at all of these examples of why that's not true. And we just dig ourselves further into that hole. But it's like, maybe it's following those breadcrumbs into that. Well, maybe I'd be open to seeing it that way. That could be a possibility for me. And just taking those little baby steps in that direction into, it doesn't have to be how the universe has come through for you, but how you've had your own back, how you've always figured things out, how ultimately you always make the right moves because it's led you to where you are now. And right here, right now is where you're meant to be.
Yeah.
And building that inner trust and then, finding that connection into the external world, I guess, and into the bigger picture. Yeah.
Like one of the kind of foundational ways of working with trauma is like taking these steps that are like, one, they're doable, right? And the second is like repetition. It's like, oh, I did that thing and I got those results. Okay, let's do that thing again. Oh, look, I got those results. Okay, do that thing again. Oh, look, I can begin to trust this. Mm-hmm. I can begin to trust the magic of this. I can begin to trust that, you know, maybe it's like saying no to something, which it's like, wow, I might say, you know, no to, you know, working with a client, for example, because it's not a right fit. And then there's that pause and the gap. It's like, okay, so is the right client going to show up now? Mm-hmm. How long am I going to sit in that gap? How long can my body stay in regulation and trust that, you know, the rightness will appear?
Yeah, that's huge. That's been a huge theme for me lately, is following my no. It's just as important as following your yes. It is kind of, it's just the other side of the same coin, where it's a no. So this is what I don't want gets me clearer to this is what I do want.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if we say no, then we're giving space for the yes to arise. We're kind of clearing the space, right? It's like a spring clean. It's like, I don't want that. Ah, now there's opportunity for what I do want. And let's get clarity on that. And how does that want to emerge and show up for me?
Yeah, and I think you nailed it in the how long can I stay in this space in between? How long, what were the words you used? How long can I regulate?
Can stay in a place of regulation whilst there's like the unknowing.
Yeah, and it's in that space that we often want to fill right away. We want the space where the opportunity lives to come to fruition, for something to happen, for the client to appear, or whatever it might be that you're hoping and calling in. But it's being able to sit in that space that it builds the resiliency, and it's a practice. It's not always easy, but just like if you were to do some spring cleaning, you clear out all the crap you don't want, doesn't mean you need to go shopping the next day and fill your house back up with stuff you do want. Sometimes it's just like, oh, this feels really nice to be in this space that's not cluttered. It's not filled with a bunch of crap that I don't want. It's just being in that in between.
Yeah. It's like I remember years ago I did a psychotherapy training and we talk about like, the idea of being in the gap. How can we manage being in the gap and holding space for ourselves whilst we're in that gap?
Mm-hmm.
And what wants to emerge from that place? And that training was kind of centered around spirituality, you know, and it's a place where spiritual emergence can happen if we give it the space.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like the gap is like an essential part of the journey. But we live in a culture that is so like around immediacy. Mm-hmm. It's so around like instant gratification. It's so around like pushing that we don't even see the gap, right? The gap just gets filled with something, right? That's probably not what we need and it's probably not nourishing us. So it's like, how do we actually kind of like notice the gap, sit in the gap and tend to the gap?
Yeah.
Wait for the clarity to come. Wait for the magic to happen.
Yeah. As someone who does work in this area, is there anything that you would give as a tip or advice on like, how would you suggest to manage being in that gap when you start to get into that fear again and those stories that, oh my God, did I make the right decision? Is this safe to be in this in-between? How would you work someone through that?
Yeah. Let me think of an example I've done recently. So I was supporting somebody around money and they were trying to kind of clear out some old money beliefs and, you know, things like, oh, there's never going to be enough, right? I think that was one of the ones we were working on. And so there was a kind of a behavioral pattern around accepting not enough. So not enough, you know, income from clients, that the work that this person was doing, and kind of saying yes to being paid like a fraction of what their work was really worth. So the first part was like, okay, there's like some no's that need to happen here, no's to what you don't want. And then they, I remember them sitting there in this kind of like, but I said no, and no one's contacted me. It's like, okay, but how long are you giving yourself here? Like a day. It's like, okay. So what are you noticing happening in your body as you wait? Oh, the panic is here. The panic is here. Okay, great. So how can you tend to and meet that panic? And so the work I do, I guide people in somatically, right? So I'd be asking questions such as, you know, is there a speed to that panic? And they'll be like, yeah, 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 it's going really fast. Okay. Okay, great. And whereabouts in your body is it? And it's usually like in the midline somewhere, like often in the chest area, panic. So it's like, so are you able to notice it and consent to it being there without needing to try and fix it or change it, but just allowing it to be here in this moment? And it's a question that they can say yes or no to, right? Because it might actually just be too much, in which case we step out and we go into a resource where they feel safe and grounded and connected again, right? But if there is capacity to stay with it and a curiosity to stay with it, then what tends to happen is that this old emergency response, because that's what it is, gets an opportunity to move through into resolution, into completion. So it's like, oh, we get to feel the panic, we get to feel the panic. The body responds, the shaking happens, the sweating happens, whatever it is that needs to happen. And then they're on the other side of it. Like, great, you've met that. And now what's happening in your body? Oh yeah, there's a sense of calmness. And now how are you relating to money? Oh yeah, I feel I've got more capacity. I can wait a little bit longer. So we don't let our emergency responses hijack us anymore.
Yeah.
But actually we can be current and present and say, yeah, that's kind of scary for me, but I can meet it because there's enough of me here to meet it.
Yeah. That's so powerful in terms of being able to sit with and feel what's coming up. I'm a big believer that we have to feel it to heal it, to release it. And it's there and it keeps knocking on our door because it wants to be felt. It wants to be processed. There's a part of us that must be ready to meet it in some capacity, even if it is like, okay, I can recognize that. Maybe that's as far as I can get right now. And now I need to go and, you know, find some resources to help me manage this. But even that, I would imagine, is a step in the direction towards healing, because the next time you hear it and it's like, or you feel it, it's like, that's that same sensation I had last time. And I at least shine the light on it. Now maybe I can sit with it and maybe I can allow myself to process it. Mm. And then be on the other side of it, like you said, to have more capacity. Once that's been felt and cleared and released, then there's that space.
Yeah. And then there's the trust, right? Oh, I trust myself more because I can meet difficulty. I might not want to meet it. It might not feel great. It might feel like really uncomfortable, but I can meet that. And it doesn't take me into a kind of what we call like a spinning response, like where we're looping in it, where we could loop in like rage or loop in anxiety or crash out into freeze and loop in freeze, which is the territory where like shame lives within us. Oh, I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. Oh God, like, what did I do? What did I do? What did I do? Right? But more like, oh, I can meet like one drop at a time of this difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Levine, who's like the grandfather of a lot of the somatic work in the trauma world, you know, he coined this phrase titration. He's like borrowed it from chemistry. And essentially like titration is, I'm going to take like one drop out of this liquid and put it into this liquid. So like the liquid is me and I'm resourced and I'm going to go into this like place that feels difficult. I'm going to feel one drop of it right? But I'm going to hold it in this bigger container where there's already resource and capacity. So, oh, wow, I can actually do that. Rather than like throwing ourselves into the place that's really difficult and drowning in it because we don't have enough resource or capacity online to do that. But we can all like meet one tiny drop. And then that tiny drop, like, you know, eventually turns into this ocean that we've met.
Yeah. What does that resource and capacity look like? Is that just an energetic capacity and a willingness, or is it something more tangible?
You can work with it in different ways, essentially. But so one way is like guiding someone into their body and actually getting them to find somewhere that feels safe or neutral. It's like, okay, we're going to go into tricky territory, but let's start somewhere that might feel like good right now. So one place I guide people into is like letting them feel the effect of gravity on their body. So it's like, oh, gravity. It's like everything starts going down, down, down. It's like, oh, can you feel your feet on the earth, your sit bones on the chair? And how is that? And they're like, oh, yeah. I'm curious if there's a sense of stability there. Yeah, there's stability. There's groundedness. Okay. And we amplify that. We hang out in that space for a while. So that's one way of doing it. Or we can call in like valiant resources. So they could be something like a spirit guide, an ancestor, a celestial being, or it could be like a place in nature, a tree, an animal. And we invite in like a relationship to that. So we get to feel the physiology of this. Let's say it's a tree. We get to feel the physiology of the tree. Might be like, oh, so what's the tree like? It's got roots. Okay, how deep do they go? Oh, they go really deep. And the trunk's really wide. And it feels like it's been here, like it's timeless. And so how does it feel in your body when you relate to those qualities? So it's always about bringing it back to the inside. It's like, oh, I can find that in myself by finding it on the outside and bringing it in.
Mm-hmm.
And what that actually creates in a client is a capacity to become self-regulatory rather than dependent upon another, like the therapist or the guide or the coach, to regulate them. They find capacity to self-regulate.
And that's huge. That goes back to what we were saying earlier about cultivating that trust in yourself. It has to come from within. We can't look to other people to be our savior, but to learn those skills and I guess to foster that ability and that trust in ourselves that we can meet that and we can work through whatever comes up. That's huge.
Yeah. And there's also this place, there is also a place for like co-regulatory experiences, right? Because, you know, when we're going through our developmental years as a young being, as a baby, as a toddler, as a child, then we seek the other to support us to regulate.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know how to rest into the body of another being, a being who feels safe, to find this like place of like co-regulation, like maybe just listening to the heartbeat, maybe just listening to the breathing, maybe touch is involved, right? But there we do have capacity to co-regulate. And so if we've had experiences where the other is like dangerous, threatening to us, then learning to co-regulate is also crucial. Like how do we find safety and trust within the other, within community, within society? And then when we can kind of like foster those connections with others, then it's like, then we become a movement, we become a group, right? And we get to kind of like meet difficulty together. You know, like in these times, you know, there's a lot of, you know, like political movements, environmental movements, where people are kind of rising up and want change. But often what happens within those movements is there's burnout, right? And it's like, we're not working enough as a collective, where it's like, okay, like, you do that bit, I do this bit, and that person gets a break today. That's kind of co-regulation. It's like, how do we facilitate change through this kind of co-regulatory behavior? Where it's not just up to us, right?
Yeah.
But we can trust in the others.
Yeah. I guess that must be where the connection is between this work and sex and love and relationships. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So finding that connection into that whole co-regulation piece.
Yeah. Yeah. Because this is about, you know, the movement I see happening in the world right now. It's like we've got to move from like this idea of like the individual, which is like Western culture, right? And come back into like this idea of like this collective, like this shared responsibility for what's happening on the earth right now. Like, how do we rise together and meet that? How do we do that through relationship? How do we come back into health through relationship?
Mm-hmm.
We really kind of like do the deep work together. How do we rise in love?
Yeah.
How do we come into our sexual relationships willing to meet what's there, willing to unpack kind of society's ideas of what sexuality actually is?
Yeah.
Find a sexuality that's actually representative of us as individuals, but that supports a healthy society.
Mm-hmm.
Me Too movement from a few years ago, like, really brought to light like one of the shadows in sexuality, right? And that work is still rippling out. It's like, how do we collectively change this perception? It's not the work of one person, right?
Yeah.
It takes a community. It takes a global community.
Yeah. Which is kind of uplifting and inspiring, even though there is all of this shadow and this heaviness coming to the light, but it's almost that with the internet, with how interconnected we all are now, it's almost as if we have this ability to come together and to do this healing work, because it's all coming to the forefront collectively on such a big scale in a way that it was never really possible a few decades ago.
No. I mean, like the piece around white supremacy, I mean, that's so central to the healing that needs to happen right now. And it's only really now that we can have those conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Now that we kind of like, oh, we get it. We get it on an embodied level. And it's like, oh, this has been my role within that. And I don't like that. And I need to do something different.
Yeah.
And what are the steps that I can take, and what are the steps that collectively that we can take to dismantle these systems of oppression?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So on the one hand, it seems like all of this is coming up and, oh my God, the world's falling apart because look at all of these issues that we have. But all of these issues that we've always had them, and now they're coming to the surface so that we can address them, so that we can heal them.
Yeah, it's such an opportunity this time. You know? And then we've got like COVID on top of that, right? Which is like the pressure cooker.
Yeah.
You know, like everyone's personal stuff is up. But again, you know, it is on some level like this deep opportunity to really meet ourselves. And I know, you know, there's a lot of individual stories where people have had like a horrific time of it. And I don't want to downplay anyone's suffering in these times at all. And yet, here is this opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
While the world is on pause, to say, hey, what do I need to do here in myself to dismantle this? What can we do collectively? And how am I going to reemerge into the world, whenever that is? Who do I want to be then? And what do I want to share then? And what's important to me? What do I stand for?
Yeah. It's kind of in many ways like we're in that pause, we're in that gap collectively where we can take that breath. And yeah, there's a lot of chaos and there's a lot of stuff, there's a lot of noise, but it is an opportunity to look at. For me, it was an opportunity to look at how have I been living and is that really how I want to continue? It like shook things up for me and caused me to look at everything that I was doing, to kind of take stock and then make changes where I felt I wanted to or needed to.
Yeah.
And I guess a lot of that comes from being able to sit with that, like being able to feel safe enough in my body, in my being, so that I could address that. I'm sure if I had been immediately in fight or flight survival mode, I probably wouldn't have done things like started a podcast and, you know, made some big moves in my life. But it was a really great opportunity for me in where I was when shit hit the fan about a year ago to take that inventory and to look inward.
Yeah. I mean, you know, for all of us, we've had our own unique experience of it. And, you know, for me, I've been in this part of my menopausal journey where I've not menstruated for like 13 moons, exactly 13 moons. And, you know, to be in this kind of global initiation and this deep personal initiation, and many other factors were kind of influencing that, has been profound. You know, the person I entered COVID time just over a year ago is, you know, energetically, emotionally, physiologically, hormonally, right? A completely different being now.
Yeah.
Wow. And, you know, and we come back to this idea of the net and, you know, the trust that's needed to kind of hold the faith and the hope. Like, okay, like, there's something that's happening that's completely out of my control, that's going to trigger all my stuff and the stuff of everyone around me. And how can we be with this and still hold the hope and the faith,
mm-hmm.
the trust that this is all part of the bigger plan and that we're going to emerge from this braver, stronger, more focused, more free to kind of do and share what we're really here to do, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. And so much of that is perspective and focus and where you choose to put your attention. And for me, it's been a lot of mindfulness around where my attention goes, where I allow it to stay. If I get kind of in a downward spiral, at least recognizing what's happening, recognizing the content I might be consuming or the thoughts that I'm giving power to, the beliefs I'm believing, yeah. and just having that awareness so that I can then make the shifts. It's not like I always live in love and trust and deep faith and in everything that you just said, that we will come out the other side. I believe that's my deepest truth. That's what I know in my core. But then there's all the surface stuff and the noise that can distract us from that. And for me, it's like I can almost get caught up in that until I have that awareness. And it's like, oh, wait a minute, that actually isn't aligned with what I deeply know and trust.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much that we can kind of get activated by, you know, just watching the news. I don't watch the news. You know, I've taken like Facebook, Instagram, Messenger off my phone. Right? I check into Facebook about once a day. I have a marketing support person who's amazing. He does Instagram for me. And like, yeah, just kind of pulling myself off social media, because so much of what was being shared in that space was like pretty toxic. Who knows, around COVID, right? It's been very toxic. And it's like, what do I want to choose for here for myself? What do I want to feed myself?
Yeah.
I'd rather save that time up and go for a long walk in nature.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
Those conversations that need to be had in that space with myself.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like you're saying, like, where am I placing my attention? Where am I putting my energy? And actually, is that feeding me what I need? Or is it actually creating activation? But, you know, I mean, I see a lot of people who are, you know, living on a diet of the news in this culture in the UK. You know, I know several members of my family who are, you know, really like the radio is on, the TV is on at the news time, and you know, and it's creating quite a negative response in their bodies. So it's like, how do we be with the enormity of what is happening, be with the diversity of opinion around what is happening, and stay centered and grounded and trusting? I mean, for me, it's like, essentially, we need to stay regulated, right? We need to be doing whatever we need to do to stay regulated.
Yeah. And taking ownership for that and reminding ourselves that we get to choose what we consume. We get to be selective. Who we follow on social media, how much time we spend on social media, but also giving ourselves permission to just unfollow and opt out of conversations and narratives and sources of information that don't serve us.
Yeah, I mean, I found myself saying to friends recently, you know, who were kind of sharing about something they'd seen on social media about like the vaccine or, you know, whatever aspect of COVID. And I just said, you know, if you were to kind of like drop your attention into your body right now, what's happening? Oh, it's really uncomfortable. It's really tight. It's really fast. It's really this. It's really that. It's like, okay. And is that what you want for yourself? Because you can choose, right? You can choose the level to which you engage with this material or not. Like, is it creating a momentum of health or is it creating more trauma? Look, hey, I'm not perfect, right? I mean, you know, I get triggered by this stuff and, you know, I'm not immune to it at all. But it's like you're saying, like that place of agency within us, that place of choice that we have. Like, to what degree do I actually want to eat this stuff, to consume it? It's like, oh, not so much, actually, thank you.
Yeah. And just going back to what you said too about the fighting against something is kind of it's a trauma response. Is that right?
Yeah.
It's like we see all these movements and in a sense it's inspiring. But to me, I look at that from a law of attraction perspective, that fighting against something, putting your energy on what you don't want, is only going to bring you more of what you don't want, even if that is a sense of unease and frustration and all of that angst in your body. It's like, yeah. Choosing that, being aware of what that activates in you, and knowing, like you said, you get to choose that.
Because there are many ways that we can facilitate change. There are many ways we can create transformation. And it doesn't need to be in that conflictual way. But sometimes, you know, there is a pattern, a belief, a mechanism whereby that's been the only way that we know is to push against.
Yeah. For me, it's been finding that middle ground where it feels good in my body. I have that power to, and that agency to decide and to live my own life and not be a victim to any of what's happening in the world. Because ultimately, when we get into that fighting against and we want change, but it's like being in that space of fighting against is almost reinforcing the fact that I feel like a victim and I feel powerless in this situation. Even though I'm fighting against it, the reason I'm fighting against it is because I feel powerless. And it just reconfirms that.
Yeah. And so like maybe the question to ask in that place, once we've realized that we're kind of in this fight energy, is like, what would create the greatest health in this moment? What action would create the greatest health for myself and for others?
Yeah, that's a good question. And when you say health, my mind immediately goes to like my physical health, but it's like energetic health to mental health.
Absolutely, across the spectrum health.
Yeah. I feel like this is an important conversation to have. I definitely didn't know we were going to touch on some of these topics, but it is important, I think, to just have the perspective of the middle ground and to share that, because there's so much on, you know, the two ends of the spectrum. And then I find the people who are just in this space of it's not quite acceptance. That's not how I would label it for myself, of just accepting what's going on. I definitely do have my concerns, but I've opted into a place of my number one priority is that I feel good, that I feel grounded, that I feel regulated. And then I don't want to talk about it much because it's just not something I want to give my energy to. So I'm glad that we did touch on this in a very level-headed sense and had this conversation.
Yeah, because if we can grow into health from the situations that we're currently facing, it's like, wow, what resilience are we growing? What resilience can we kind of pass down to others? I mean, I think for me, like one of the foundational practices, you know, that I found that builds that level of resilience, that level of, or that place of like taking deep care of ourselves. For me, it's like long walks in nature. I was writing a post about this the other day, you know, and it's, you know, resilience is built when we take on difficulty and we become successful. So on my long walks that I do, I go out walking for like 3 or 4 hours and, you know, often across landscape that I don't know. So I'm there with my map. So there's this place of like, oh, look, there's a stream there. How am I going to cross the stream? I've got to kind of like draw on like some skills here to be able to kind of determine like where's the safe place to cross. And that I crossed the stream and there's like this success, I overcame difficulty. And it's like, oh, it's a bit muddy and like, where am I going to walk? Where I'm not going to kind of end up with like mud all over myself. I'm going to go that way. It's a bit more tricky. I've got to go over rocks and boulders. And it's just every step is like building resiliency. So it's not like we need to be in this place of like severe conflict. It's like we just need to position ourselves in places where there's a possibility of growth. Mm-hmm. And literally when you're walking, it's like one step at a time.
Yeah.
Right? You get to move at the pace that feels really good in your body. You get to overcome challenge and difficulty in a way that's doable.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
So if anyone was to ask me, like, what's a practice to support yourself in these times, I'm like, get out and walk. Right. find a bit of wildness near you and get out and walk in it.
Yeah. I love my walks. I can't quite call it in nature, but there's a really nice park nearby. It is in nature. There's a river that runs through the park, but I live very much in the city. And I know anytime that I can get out into some fresh air, into some space, some trees, the river, whatever it might be, it just changes my entire state. My entire energy just feels uplifted. And now layering in everything you just said about, you know, facing whatever you're going to encounter one step in front of the other. Often it's not taking big, bold moves, but it's what builds that resiliency, what builds that trust is just one step in front of the other. What do I want to do next? And how am I going to navigate that? And then on to the next and the next.
Yeah. Yeah. And if we've had nervous systems that didn't have that opportunity to build resilience when we were younger, for whatever reasons, whatever our circumstances were, you know, there can often be this belief that, you know, resiliency isn't for me, or resiliency is something they teach you in the army, you know? It's something beyond the recognized state. It's something that those people may not have, think it's just too big to attain. But yeah, this simple step, this simple act of just taking the step repeatedly. And there it is, there's the net. It's like, here it is, see?
Yeah. Here it is.
You get to test it out again and again, like it's there.
Yeah, I love that. Oh, this has been such a good conversation, Catherine. Thank you so much for being here and sharing your energy and your heart with us.
You're really welcome. I've really enjoyed having this conversation with you as well.
So where can people find you online? I know you mentioned that you're easing up on the social media. If there was one or two places that someone could go to find you, where would that be?
I have a website. That's my go-to place. So that's katherinehale.co.uk. I can pop it in the comments on the Facebook thread. I have support, so people are helping me on Facebook. So although I'm not on there personally too much, then there are other people who are kind of like responding to things on there. And so I'm there under my own name, Catherine Howe. And then my business page is Thrive in Life. Oh, no, it's Thrive Coaching, actually. And then I'm on Instagram as well, just under my name.
Beautiful. Yeah. And we'll link those to the show notes as well. So if you're listening on the podcast, you can check out the show notes for direct links to connect with Catherine. And if you want to join in on this conversation, if there's anything that you would like to add or ask any questions, this was recorded live on my Facebook page, Chelsea Benzel. So you can come around to my page and go to the videos tab. You'll find this video with Catherine and you can join in on the conversation there. And yeah, thank you so much, Catherine, from the bottom of my heart for being here. It's been such a pleasure.
Can I share one more thing?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I've got a training coming up.
Yeah.
I'm going to be starting that on, let me just check, I'm going to say the right date to you. It's going to be starting on the 7th of April. And this is a training for, if you've been kind of excited about the aspects of trauma that I've spoken into, and you're a practitioner, and you want to become more trauma-informed in your work, then this is an online training, so I can reach people all over the world. Thank you to Zoom for that. And essentially, it's a training to support you to like be able to, one, support your clients more deeply and to create more impact in the work that you do with your clients. So if you're looking to offer your clients greater safety, if you're looking to, like if in your sessions you're aware that you might be a little bit out of your depth when trauma comes up, or if your own trauma gets activated when you're working with clients, or maybe you've already got some trauma awareness, but you want to kind of dive in a little bit deeper to understand like the mechanics a little bit more, then I'll be offering this training and it runs for 6 weeks. And this time round, it's the fourth time I've run the training, and this time round we're going to be bringing in two new pieces. And one of them is about practitioner self-care from a trauma perspective. So how do we move from this kind of culture of extraction into regeneration in our work, right? Mm-hmm. And another piece I'm going to be bringing in is our relationship to money as practitioners. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, I want to go there. So looking at like, how does trauma impact our relationship to money? And how can we begin to start shifting that so that we can shift into becoming mature custodians of money and start using our money to make positive impact in the world?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, just wanted to drop that one in there.
So if there's someone listening who wants to know more about that, is there, if they go to your website, will that be right there for them?
Yeah, there's like a tab, it says trauma training. They can jump on and have a look there. Like I said, we're going to be going live on the 7th of April. So you're going to need to join like fairly soon to be part of it. I could also pop a little link into the Facebook live space as well.
Yeah, okay, beautiful. And so I know this episode will be live on the podcast just after that start date. Will that be too late for someone to get in? Is it kind of like wait for the next enrollment period or?
The next enrollment period. My sense is that actually this training is going to kind of like, it wants to emerge into something bigger.
Yeah.
In the next iteration. So yeah, there'll be more to it next time round. There'll be more depth.
Cool. Oh, beautiful. Well, perfect timing to jump into your world and get to know more about you. And then, yeah, if Catherine's work is speaking to you, then you can keep an eye out for that next enrollment period, the next iteration. It sounds amazing.
Thank you. Thank you, Chelsea.
Oh, thank you for doing this work and for being here and, yeah, just sharing your light with the world.
Well, thank you for creating a space where these conversations can happen.
Yeah, it's such a pleasure. Oh, beautiful. Well, thank you to everyone listening. And I will catch you again on the next episode. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the podcast. We'll be releasing a new episode each week, so I'll catch you again on the next one.